Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic. Hi, guys. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome back. We are so excited to have you here. I think we're on episode 7, which is kind of crazy, but we are so excited to have you and to have my special guest, a friend that I've known for honestly super long. And we have the same birthday, which is like super cool. I mean, I think Eric's a year older than me, but we have the same birthday. So like God must have known that we would be like doing some work together. So this is my friend, Eric Amos. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks. Glad to be here.
I love your shirt. Can you show us your shirt that you're wearing? It's very appropriate for the podcast. It says, for those that are listening on the podcast, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, guys, Eric and I are all about some freedom. Like, I'm so excited for you guys to learn from him. He has a ministry called Listening Prayer Ministries, and they do workshops. They do a lot of stuff, which we're going to get into later. But I've been a part of this ministry. I've been learning from this ministry, honestly, for probably 6-7 years. It's been a long time. So I've seen it just like grow and develop and be like super steady and just like very powerful. Eric is a learner. He's always reading. He's always learning things. Every time I'm like, how was your week? And Eric, he's like, I was reading some new things. So he's a wealth of knowledge. I'm super excited to have him. And, you know, another thing I think is really cool about Eric is that he is an engineer by trade, and he's built companies in the past, and now he's freed up to like build more of a ministry. And he's been building something for years. Like, he didn't just start this like a few weeks ago. Like, he's been doing this for so long, which I just really respect, because like anything, I always think of him like a car manufacturer, you know, like there's a lot of years or a lot of time that goes into like building a car before anyone in the public really sees it. And I feel like that's what Eric does really, really well, is he's been working on this for years before it's like super, super public. And I just really respect that. I think that's so cool, because it's so easy to want to like just jump out there and tell everyone what you're doing. And Eric's like totally not that type. So anyway, Eric, I could brag on you for a while, but I do want to get to our first question, because I love that you have a good answer for this question. But I want to know, what is the funniest thing that the inner critic has ever said to you?
All right. Well, first off, thanks for having me. It's fun. It's an honor to be here. And these are topics I love to talk about. So, hey, having an audience that's interested in this stuff is great. So I think on this topic, this question, I'm going to twist it a little bit. And I was thinking about it a little bit, and I was like, what's happened that's been interesting? And it started with a conversation I was having with a friend, actually. And she's like, it was actually in our listening prayer family. She's like, yeah. Eric, to be honest, like, there's something I feel like I can't reach you. There's something in the way. It's like, I don't know what it is, but you know, but I thought you should know. And I was like, interesting. Okay, well, I'll do what I know to do, which is to take it to God and ask. And so I did. And I was like, Jesus, what do I have anything up? It's like a defense or a wall or something that might be, maybe people aren't able to see me. And I saw something. God showed me something. And I saw it was, and this is how I usually experience the Lord. A lot of times it's visual. We'll show things sort of in my mind's eye, my imagination. And I saw this castle. And the gate of the castle would roll up, and a knight on a horse would ride out, and then he would ride back in with a trophy. And he'd ride out and ride back in with a trophy. And over and over again, I was like, all right, God, like, what are you doing with this? What are you trying to get at? as I unpacked that with him, it was clear. It's like, this is you. This is your castle, and you're that knight. And you go out and you try to earn achievements and bring those trophies back and build your value and build your, basically you're trying to relate to people through achievement. You want people to see all the things you've done and built, and you hope that people will see that and then accept you and love you because of that. And so I think I kind of wanted to intro with that a little bit, just because it kind of is like, oh, that's definitely my mode. Like, kind of more of a perfectionist, achievement oriented person, high responsibility, call it performance orientation in the kind of world I come from. And I think there's a lot of me out there, a lot of definitely in the church, but for folks like us, that inner critic is super loud and not very kind. And so definitely well experienced with my own inner critic. And it's been an interesting journey of sort of unpacking that over the years with Jesus and sort of unwinding that inner critic so that voice is either not as loud or it's something I can catch and say, nah, that's something I don't need to listen to. No, I need to let that get in the way of where I need to go. So
interesting. So interesting. I mean, I love that, like, you teach us in, like, the prayer ministry how to, like, ask God for pictures, right? Like, that's kind of the main way that you do it. I know there's, like, different kinds of listening prayer that people do, but yours seems to be mainly focused on, like, the visual. Is that correct?
We'll speak to the idea that Jesus talks to us some different ways. I think some of the stuff we've written, I think we've identified something like 30 different ways that God speaks to people. So there's a lot of variety, and everyone kind of, a lot of times folks will listen, be able to hear God's voice or are made to hear God's voice in very different ways, which is fun because you have a lot of variety and there's a lot we can learn from each other, and makes for interesting experiences that we listen together and share what God's speaking and how he's doing it. For me, I'm more visual, and I found when I'm doing it by either prayer ministry or just helping people through things, a lot of times we do structure, I guess the times that we're facilitating what we call listening prayer, we'll introduce language that gets people trying to picture things visually, because even if they can't do that, or if that's not their primary hearing, I find that for whatever reason, it engages the whole person, like their mind and heart, in a way that allows Jesus in to speak. So that's why I tend to lean towards that language and kind of mode of listening. I think second reason actually comes to mind is I think generally people aren't aware that they can experience God's voice that way. We tend to think God's voice is more of like an audible thing or something that, I don't know, maybe we receive through, you know, time in scripture or something. And I think the church is kind of hard on our imagination or kind of discounts that as something that's used by Satan. It is not something that God can use, but in fact, we find that God definitely does use our imaginations and uses things that all aspects of who we are available to him, so, and are good. So I think we'll introduce things like that just to give people a chance to try and see if that's how God might speak to them.
Yeah. I love that though, that like, I find that, you know, when the inner critic was just like causing you to think that only your value is coming from your achievements, like, it's like, you know, it was cool of God to show you a picture and then let you guys unpack that together, you know, instead of like, oh, you're performance oriented and you're, you know, this and that. It's almost like through the inner critic's voice, it might've been God telling you that, but sometimes I think that we can get those voices mixed up and we can then feel condemned by something that God wants to free us from, you know? So I think that's really beautiful that God, like, you know, took you into like a vision or gave you a picture of what I would call an ouchie. I know that's Lindsay language, but yeah, you know, yeah. I would call an ouchie that was in there that can, you know, it's like what I find, Eric, and I don't know if you find this, is that often the ouchies could be a good thing, but they're kind of like twisted a little bit. So the fact that you're like really good at your high responsibility, like all these things, I mean, some of that is really good stuff, but the enemy can like turn it and say, well, the only way you're going to get your value is by doing that stuff, which the truth is your value is your value, but doing that stuff is also like part of how God made you and what made you be able to like And, you know, I had to ask you if I could say that you had built a business. Like, you never say that. I just have known you a long time. I know that about you, but you don't really say those things, you know. But the fact that God gave you that kind of brain and you were able to build a business and now you're able to be free to do ministry is like so powerful. And like you being high responsibility was part of that. But then the enemy, the inner critic, will take it and twist it and then like cause it to like just be, you know, like painful. So I just think that's really sweet the way God, you know, gave you a picture and kind of walked you through it in that way instead. I love that.
Yeah, he's very clever. That's why we do this a lot with a lot of folks. And it's like the way he interacts with people is very unique and personal to the person. He knows exactly how to work with a person to get around the defenses and to engage the person right where kind of where they need it. Like an example for me lately, I've been working on some things, and Jesus tends to want to meet me in the living room in which I grew up in.
Okay.
In that living room, we always had a record player. We listened to a lot of my parents' music from when they grew up and stuff. So a lot of oldies, I guess now we call them. And then some music, you know, from the 80s and whatnot. And so we will go back there and Jesus will put a record on. And through the choice of the song, he starts to speak about something that's going on in my life. And I think he does it because, again, like I tend to be fairly well defended, like most of us.
And wait, what did you say? I missed that. You said fairly what?
Fairly well defended.
Oh, defended. Yeah.
You know, we're locked in pretty tight, you know, a lot of us. Yes. But I think by using music, he's tapping into more of more of the creative side. I think something about music that kind of is a language of the heart, you know, any side of the creative is going to be that. And so like to choose something that's musical, that means something for my youth, that taps into some concept is, on his part, is just ingenious. And for me, it's like, I appreciate it. I mean, being around Jesus and seeing how he works with folks, he's incredible. So the kind of things he'll pull out. For me, the music was like, oh, this is genius. So I've really, every time I go in, I don't really know what to expect when you basically open up a room for Jesus to come and speak. But I'm never disappointed, that's for sure.
That is so amazing. And what I think is so cool about your ministry, Eric, is that like you, I remember, okay, you guys, so just, you know, like Eric's helped me through a lot of stuff. I mean, he knows all the it's so good. But, and I know it's so fun how Jesus talks to all of us, but you know, I used to be like, oh my gosh, Eric, does this like wear you out? Like to sit with people sometimes Eric sits with people for hours and leads them through like, you know, communicating with Jesus. And it's a little different than a lot of the other things I've done. I've done a lot of sozos, a lot. I've done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of different things, Emmanuel approach, but what Eric does is different actually, in a way. It's obviously similar streams for sure, but it's a little bit different. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, Eric, like, does this exhaust you? Because it would probably exhaust me because I like to talk, not as much listen. I mean, I love to listen too, but like talking is fun for me. And so Eric's like, no, he's like, I actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but I remember you saying like, I actually find it so fascinating. And again, this takes me back to like your engineer brain, which is the brain God gave you. You're like, I love to see how God like, you know, kind of moves things around. Like, I don't know, so you'll explain it better, but explain it to the listeners, because I think it's so cool.
Yeah, I consider, obviously doing anytime you're focused and concentrated, there's limits to how long you can sit there and do it. But to be honest, I couldn't be a counselor. I think it would just drain me. It'd be really hard. But with this approach of ours, we're just there to kind of help facilitate a conversation between Jesus and the person and help the person kind of have that conversation, you know. And I find out the way I describe it is like having front row seats to really the greatest show on earth. I mean, you're watching Jesus perform, and he is a master. He really is. And so to me, it's interesting because I'm learning something. I'm watching Jesus do things that are really incredible. And you're watching Jesus take a person through a process that isn't stay in the dark heart stuff, usually all that long. And you're usually seeing people come out of the other side with a lot of resolution, a lot of really powerful moments with Jesus where he was actually touching and healing and restoring things and giving perspective on things that were like you're just sitting on hard things and not have solution be dark and kind of exhausting, but coming out the other end of it and seeing really people seeing pretty significant transformation in a relatively short amount of time. It's a lot of fun to be part of. And I'm just there to kind of like, I'm like the magician's assistant or something. I don't know, like just helping with this and there, and you know, just trying to help the conversation go. And obviously there's some experience that I bring to the table, or just based on what I've seen and what we ask a lot of questions. So it's like, you know, knowing what kind of questions to ask is helpful. But yeah, it's beautiful. I really enjoy it. I usually leave. Oftentimes, I mean, it could be, part of me feels tired because there's a lot of focus and energy involved, but I generally, I'm really energized to come out of it as well. Like part of me just feels kind of like filled up. Because you just watch Jesus talk to someone for, I mean, sometimes we're doing it for 2-3 hours, sometimes longer. Yeah, it's just incredible to see what happens. I think where I've reached, especially lately, as I realize is like, we get to see Jesus respond to people. We often ask Jesus, well, how do you feel about what happened today? Or like, Jesus, how do you feel about what you did or what happened in the person? Or how do you feel about this, what this person, you know, their response to you? And it's not, and we see Jesus doing cartwheels, jumping up and down, dancing. Like, it's really neat to see Jesus happy. Like, we did something. I helped a person respond and come to Jesus in a way that really makes them happy. And you get to see a lot of really cool things happening in the person. But of course, I think it's just, I'm recognizing like, wow, it is a lot of, it's a, what an honor to be able to contribute and to do something that really brings Jesus a lot of joy. So,
yeah, no, that's so true. And I mean, I've experienced, I feel like I'm supposed to share this is because it was just so interesting, but so I was in an inner healing session with Eric just, I don't know, a couple Saturdays ago. And I was feeling really weighed down by things. And one of the questions he always asks is, you know, Jesus, where do you want to meet me today? He'll have you ask Jesus that question. And again, a lot of times I get pictures as well. It sounds like not everyone does, but I do when I do your inner healing stuff. And so, which is interesting. I think it's cool because it's interesting. What I teach people with the scripting method is all about, right? Is all about words. So it's interesting when I'm under your ministry, I see pictures, but when I'm just by myself or when I'm teaching, you know, where my healing came in was more of the scripting method, you know, which is the dealing with the Lord. And so it's kind of cool. Like, I don't know, I guess we all probably can experience him lots of ways, but it's just every time I'm under your ministry, I see pictures. And I knew this was God because like, I would not make this up, but all of a sudden I saw myself as a mule. Wasn't it a mule? Exactly. I was like a mule, like walking down like legit, like my street out here, you know, a mule. And I had these, like all these backpacks on as this mule. And I was just like, really like tired and like stressed out. It was so, I don't know why it was so funny. It just makes me laugh. Cause I'm like, I did not come up with that. That is so random. Like, I know that was the Lord. And then later, I don't remember exactly how it went down, but later it's like, well, God, how do you want me to see myself? And I saw this massive logo transformer, like massive, like almost like the Marshmallow Man, you know? And I was like tromping down Ocean Avenue, which is right by my house, you know, like just stepping on all the problems. And it was just so cool that like, I saw myself as a mule with all these backpacks that I could barely function or walk. And, you know, the way Jesus saw me was like this big logo transformer, like walking down Ocean Avenue, like stomping on, you know, all the problems of the world. So it's just, it's so amazing. It's so amazing what you do, Eric. I just love it. I love it so much. So how did you get interested in this, right? Because again, I keep saying this, but you were an engineer, you're building a business. So what interrupted and got you on this path?
That's a good question. I actually saw listening, what I call listening prayer for the first time back in like 1997, when I was in college, actually. So started to dabble with it a little bit back then. And it was eye-opening. As coming from a more maybe conservative Christian background, that was not something I had a category for. And growing up, I actually felt like, well, I didn't really feel like God actually spoke to me at all. I didn't even know that was really a thing. But when someone started facing this class I was attending, like someone said, well, actually, you know, Jesus speaks in some different ways. Maybe look, and maybe Jesus might speak to you visually through your mind's eye. And so I looked, and sure enough, I started to see things. And I was like, oh, well, interesting. God probably was already always speaking to me. I just didn't know where to look for him. And so over the years, we would do some of this in our, you know, maybe small groups at church or and whatnot. And I always found it to be super helpful, super significant. I would think, as far as maybe call it a spiritual discipline or a tool, I always found for me, it's like one of the most, I think, impactful tools that I've come across. I would say now it's definitely the most. And so that's kind of my first exposure to it. Now, around the same time, I also hit like really hard times, ended up, my life kind of fell apart, kind of post, right, my senior year of college, coming out of undergrad. And so I started looking for tools, looking for help. Found, you know, went through the counseling route, went down some other roads too, found some, I was introduced to some people through church at some point in there, maybe my early mid-20s, who were, I guess, missionaries on the, I don't know where, but they had come back and had learned inner healing and deliverance while on the field. And I guess it's used more out there because it's needed. And so he's picked up these tools out there and they came back. We're like, hey, well, you know, happy to meet with you and pray with you. And that was my first experience really with an inner healing, and it was inner healing prayer and deliverance ministry. It was super, super helpful. I think I only got to do one with them, but it opened my eyes to say, like, okay, there are tools within the church to deal with people like me who are dealing with, like, I was dealing with like a lot of deep depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of, I just like things on my life. I don't know what's going on. I just know I need help. And so it kind of started me on the road of going down the path of inner healing and deliverance, seeking out in different forms or different groups. And so I would say kind of like the first 20 years of my life was whatever it was me, like, surviving life or surviving my upbringing. I mean, there's a lot of good and a lot of some bad in there, but maybe who I am. And then I'd say this last maybe 20-ish years, I feel God's been on, I've been on my own inner healing journey. And that seems like it's actually only accelerating, which is interesting. But about 10 years ago, it started to become clear that, like, that wasn't on accident, that God actually had brought me through this journey because he was preparing me to help other people in this as well. So I think I tend to see that is actually kind of the way God works. As we go through our journey, he brings us through our stuff, and then we're in that process, we're actually being prepared to then minister to other people. And that's, so I just kind of had that vision, started to get clear, like, that's probably where I'm going. So I started getting training, and been trained in different tools like Sozo, and seen some of, like, you know, Chuck Craft stuff, some of the seminars, and read a ton of material, and then started dabbling with it. I realized that there's different ways of doing this stuff. Folks approach it in different ways, but I always liked the listening prayer approach. And so we started down with, like, you know, was it like to actually, so Sozo was kind of like that. They use, basically, they don't call it listening prayer, but they use the listening prayer kind of style with inner healing. And that got me thinking, like, oh, I'd love to see if there's more to it there, that something that fits me a little bit better than Sozo did. But that's kind of how it's developed. It's like this idea of combining listening prayer with inner healing and deliverance. But me realizing, like, oh, if you want to pick people in inner healing and deliverance, it's hard to do if they're not comfortable learning, if they're not comfortable hearing God's voice, that's kind of hard just to jump people right into there. You can do it. But I found, like, well, why don't we, I think what the Lord kind of showed me is, like, build a funnel. Start with the high, larger than the funnel, just offer opportunities for people to learn to hear God's voice. Because in and of itself, that's healing. And then as people want to go deeper, then offer other things and help people kind of go down that path through. And I think we're trying to figure out, well, what does that actually look like? But we do a lot of, mostly one-on-one type stuff right now, or two-on-one kind of team stuff. And we do a lot of it kind of within our family, sort of as an R&D experiment on each other, I guess. But it's been beautiful. And I think that's kind of the idea. It's basically just been a, you can get back to questions. It's like it came out of what I experienced. And God was at some point saying, yeah, this is what you're built to do. And so it's like, all right, let's do it. How do we do it? And I guess about 8 years ago, we started dabbling. It's like, we need to start doing something. So it's time to start something. So we started small. Like, let's just get people, maybe meet, get a few people together in someone's house and just do some listening, you know? And it's grown into, like, well, how do we scale that up is the main question. It's like, so we started workshops. Some of those workshops, you pull 50 people or whatever to a workshop. And it's like, well, how do you handle new people, people who are coming back for more? Like, how do you create an environment where you can accommodate people in different places? And then realizing, like, well, what's the theology around this stuff? I don't want to be doing stuff that I can't justify, or maybe I realize, like, maybe I'm leading people down the wrong path or something. But So a lot of it's like, well, how does this work? What is it for? How do you think about it in terms of, you know, biblical grounding? And then how do you structure in a way that actually, can reach people in different, in different places. Yeah, folks are more, I think on the charismatic side of the church, people are a little more accustomed to this kind of thing. There's more of this going on. And, you know, to sell anybody on any of it, but some of the practices might not be that good. So maybe there's some places to bring people back to something that's a little bit more grounded. There's room for that, I think. And so I think that's part of our kind of where we position ourselves. And then on the conservative side of the church, I feel like people are like, wait, what? You're talking to God? Like, what do you mean by that? You know, people have all sorts of reactions. I think people are hungry for more, but I think there's, you know, a lot of different ideas about the theology of these things and how this works and what's actually available to us. And so I think the idea is like, how do you communicate in a way that creates nice shallow water for people to enter into gradually and whatever kind of level they're comfortable with, and then all the way to like getting really deep into like some really deep stuff. And in general, I'm realizing like, hey, this is what we're doing is just prayer, really. So like, how do you talk about and maybe reframe, help the church rethink prayer from a listening and prayer perspective? Like, how do you apply it? Like, there's generally like applying it to our relationship with God. That's the basis of everything. But then there's like, well, what do you start to do with it now? What happens when you start listening for other people, or you start applying it for inner healing, or there's evangelism, and there's all, I was like, all these other things you could do with prayer once you actually get a feel for what it is and how it should work. So our vision's pretty big for what we're trying to build, but it's kind of coming together. But I know it's been a fun journey. I'm kind of applying that entrepreneurship to building something kingdom, which is a little different, but definitely a challenge and something I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I mean, and Eric, you've been doing this forever. Like, you're so humble that you like kind of talk, you know, like you're like, I can brag on you, I guess. Let's just say that. But I mean, you used to hold these massive like events where it was so well done, you guys. It was so fun. I'm kind of sad we don't do that anymore, because obviously now we're in this like weird world, but we don't get together in big groups as much. But I mean, there would be, I don't know, like you said, like 50, 75 people in this group, and you'd have us sit in these like groups of four, and you would lay it out so well. It was done where it felt super safe, because you're right. And some of these things, people get excited and they don't lay all the foundation. They don't know how to make everyone feel safe, and it's okay. Like, we're not all good at everything, but I think one of your strengths is like, again, I just always go back to your engineer brain, because mine is the opposite of an engineer. So I'm always fascinated with people that have opposite brains as me. But you know, you were able to like explain everything in a way that kept everyone super safe, and everyone understood what they were doing. And therefore there was so much fruit that came from it. I mean, we all left those, you know, those listening prayer workshops, you know, when they were in Culver City, when they were down the street from where I live in Santa Monica at Vintage. Like, I mean, we were just all like, so like glowing, because we had heard from God, and we got to, not only did we get to hear from God, but we got to hear from God for someone else. And to see that almost is even more powerful, because it's like, you know, you ask God, how are you praying for so-and-so, the person across from you? And then everybody listens. We listen, you know, for a good 2-3 minutes in silence. And then you go around the group of four, and everybody gets to say, well, I saw this picture of this, and I think this is what God's saying. And then the other person would go, and the other person would go, and you would just leave there with like, so filled up, because you're like, wow, like that was God, because those people didn't know that about me. And also like, wow, God speaks through me. It was just this very, you know, very safe, and like, I don't even know exactly how to describe it, but it was just like a very safe environment to learn, you know, and to practice. But you left so encouraged every time, you know. And so I always love that. And so now he does these workshops online. And so, because, you know, we're all in a lemon, you know, we can't do big group things right at this moment, but the online ones are just as fun, because you put us in these little Zoom groups, and like, we get to hear from God for each other. It's super fun, y'all. It's all free. So like, you know, we're gonna put the link obviously everywhere, so you guys can jump on and be a part of these, because it's so fun and freeing and healing and all the things, to learn how to hear God you know, like we said, a lot of times it's visual under this ministry, I've found anyway. Yeah. And, you know, it's just so fun. And you guys might be like, Lindsay, why are you talking about this? This is like the season of the inner critic, you know, because to me, and, you know, Eric and I have gone, we've talked hours and hours and hours, like, about these things. Cause we're both like this, we're kind of nerd out. And when it comes to this stuff, you know, so we like to talk about it, but, you know, the reason I call it the inner critic is because God has kind of shown me, like, it's just my language for other people call it other things, but it's like a conglomerate in your head, you know, that is everything from the enemy to the ouchies that have gone on in life, to the shame, the guilt, the fear, the worry, all the things that are not from God's kingdom that the enemy would like to just like oppress us all with, which he's unfortunately kind of good at his job. You know, I just call that the inner critic. I call that whole conglomerate and the inner critic, you know, and, you know, so in my classes that I teach on the inner critic, I'm teaching you how to recognize the different voices, you know, recognize what is the helpful voice? What is the unhelpful voice? What are the ouchies you might need some healing from? You might need to go to Eric to get some of those ouchies healed, you know? Or sometimes the spirit does kind of have a hold of you because of different things. Some might not even be your fault. Some could have been 17 grandparents ago, you know, it could have been your great, 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 great grandparent that, you know, kind of was into something that, you know, kind of keeps moving through the generation or whatever. And so could, you know, not your fault. No one in your, you know, no one in your current family had any idea. So it's like, not your fault, but you might just need a little clip, you know, of that and just let, you know, take that to the cross of Christ. And so that's really what Eric does is, you know, he helps us learn to hear God for ourselves and for one another, which is so powerful. And then I kind of help you dismantle the inner critic and help you learn to hear from God too. So we kind of do similar things actually, but I don't know, Eric, you wanted to talk about the different voices and stuff too. So I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap between kind of our approaches. I think what's beautiful is that there's different, I guess, tools or maybe different approaches, but it's the same Jesus, which is really what it boils down to. You get in a room with Jesus and you let him talk it out with us. He knows the heart. He knows what's going on in us. He knows all that big jumble, what you're talking about. I would never know how to, I mean, I can get in with somebody and there's no way. How do you untangle it? There's no way. But with Jesus, he's been with the person all their life. He's always with us. He's Jesus Emmanuel. He knows the heart, all the intricacies. And he knows exactly how to untangle it. What layer needs to come off, when it needs to come off, what needs to be said to help us through something, something we need to repent of or to forgive, or something that's, you know, like you said, like a generational curse or some, you know, other work of the enemy's. He knows what's going on and knows how to get us through. So the goal is just like creating that space and will their program works for you. I mean, heck, it's just about, it comes about us down to Jesus, which takes a lot of pressure off us as any program or minister or facilitator. Once you lose that, you can lose your way, but if you keep Jesus in the center of it, then there's really no going wrong, as far as I can say, I can tell, at least my experience. So we talk about it in a similar way, basically with the inner critic. I kind of maybe break it down in two parts. It's kind of like the part that maybe that's our internalized voices that come from our trauma, wounding, our past. I think we are terribly hard on ourselves, and a lot of it comes down to us trying to enforce just the ways we think we need to be in the world in order to get our needs met. You know, a lot of times, you know, we've learned that, you know, we can't really be authentic, can't really be us. We have to be something else to be accepted and to basically maintain the attachment relationships in our life would be a way to put it. Basically, we have people that we needed for, you know, basic survival. And so that's always most important. We have to maintain and protect those relationships. And so a lot of times, especially as children, we had to realize like, well, like, I've got to adapt and change and cope with things that are going on and be what I need to be in order to survive. And a lot of times those mechanisms and ways of operating the world continue with us into adulthood until we understand them and unravel them. Yeah, they're with us. And a lot of times those voices are there to kind of reinforce and say, hey, you can't do this. You got to do this. You got to work harder. If you don't do this, you're not going to be, you know, get what you need. All that stuff wrapped in that. And then out the enemy comes in and says, oh, this is something I can take advantage of, and says, I'm just going to amplify this. I'm going to speak into this. I'm going to stir this up over here. And this is where a lot of it's we're vulnerable to it because we in our hearts believe certain things and are bought into these systems. And so he just speaks right into that and it just hooks us because we believe it. And two, because we're into stuff, we have vulnerabilities, chinks in our armor, so to speak, that he can sneak through. And so that voice he speaks actually sounds like it's come from us, come from the inside. Because he actually is bright from the inside, basically. So,
because what'd you say?
He's broadcasting it into us from the inside, basically.
Right.
So a lot of what we're dealing with inner healing and deliverance is, we're trying to unwind, what's going on in the heart? Why are we the way we are? Why do we think the way we are? What do we think? And it's more like, I'm not so thinking here, more the thinking of the heart. Right. Ways we've been programmed in life to operate, to respond to threat, all that kind of stuff. Ways we think we need to be in order to be lovable. Either get our needs met. Like me, I need to perform to a certain level. I need to achieve. Like all that's stuff I learned growing up. Right? So a lot of the inner healing is basically getting Jesus into that. Saying, all right, Jesus, come on in.
Yeah.
What do you see here? And we just start to unwind that, let him unwind it. And a lot of times it's taking us back to traumatic moments, inviting him back into those places to heal and to bring perspective. Helping us unpack the actual thinking that goes into a lot of that, things that may be lies, basically become lies or ungodly beliefs, things that are thinking that's wrong, like it's off. To help us correct that. And that's really what comes down to repentance, basically. You're saying, all right, Jesus, I see that I've been believing or thinking this way, been operating this way. I'm going to repent of this. I'm going to change direction, change my thinking, and go your direction. And then I'm misaligned with you, and now I'm going to align with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what this work is about. And the other big one I would say, maybe on repentance, there's lies. You get I would call them idolatries, a biblical concept where we are basically trying to get our needs met through false solutions. If I could just get that relationship, if I make it on Lindsay's podcast, then everyone will love me. It'd be all those kinds of things, right? Like these, if I make a certain amount of money or if I have this, if I'm successful to this level or if I'm famous or whatever, we have, all these games that we play to try to get, ways that we're trying to get our needs met apart from God. That's the way I put it. And we have our defense strategies, walls we put up, ways we try to hide. I think at the core of us, we all have parts of us that we're ashamed of that we don't like, that we've rejected.
Yeah.
And we don't want people to see that. So we're gonna use those, I call them fig leaves from the biblical narrative. Adam and Eve, this all goes way back to the beginning, right? There's problems. We have deep pain. I believe it probably at our core. I think most of us, I believe, our core is that we're unlovable, and so at our core level, I think we believe we're unlovable. There's something wrong with
we believe we're
so unlovable. You get shame on shame, and then our kind of a pride response, and then all these ways that we try to survive and cope get built on top of that. And so, with Jesus, we're just unwinding that a level at a time and bringing awareness, and he's just kind of bringing light in to say, This is what you're doing, and this is why I think, which is really important. Like, why did I choose this? And getting to the roots and letting Jesus heal that and address that so that we can actually let go of these solutions, false solutions, these schemes and mechanisms, so we can let go of the voices.
Yes.
And embrace and really receive Jesus's voice of love and acceptance, his grace, really. And his truth. It's truth of what's real in our lives. And it's true of what's true of the gospel and what he's done. And really bringing that into not just our kind of intellectual level, that's one level, but where it really needs to get to is really the core of our hearts.
Yeah.
So that's really on the inner healing side of it. And then the deliverance side is a little different because that's more the enemy's voice chirping at us. And again, he kind of infiltrates through these vulnerabilities. So a lot of the inner healing is closing up the vulnerabilities, closing up the chinks in the armor.
Yeah.
But another part of that is actually comes down to legal rights. Mm-hmm. So the enemy in the spiritual realm, it's like a big courtroom or something. It's like the federal government. It's like this big bureaucratic legal nightmare. it seems like it all comes down to what kind of legal rights or legal access have we granted to the enemy for him to access us and torment or leverage us? And it seems like when we And the way that, I don't know, the way it's done is basically when we do certain things or believe certain things or you know, choose, make certain choices, we open up legal access to the enemy to come in and mess with us, basically. And so to unwind that is basically just to recognize and realize, let Jesus say, hey, this is the legal issue here.
Yeah.
And this is, and Jesus, once you know, it's like, Lord Jesus, how do we unravel this? How do we revoke this legal right, essentially? And that might be repenting of something that we believed. Mm-hmm. It might be forgiving someone where we have held back forgiveness. It might be some things around like, it's like curses is an interesting concept, or generational curses. Curses being things usually like, a lot of times word curses are like labels that maybe people have spoken over us that seem to have stuck. You know, it might be that you'll never be good enough. No one will ever love you. You know, whatever those things, a lot of times those can be thrown out in our, as we're growing up, or even as adults, things kind of stick and kind of serve as a label that we believe about ourselves. And so, you know, we just say, all right, Jesus, we're going to break this curse. What's your word of blessing over me instead? And so we just say, all right, let's get rid of that and choose what Jesus has to say instead. That's basically pretty easy. But once it's identifying these things that are sometimes the hard part. But with listening prayer, Jesus brings that information in. So we just basically follow them. All right, Jesus, what's next? What's going on here? Where to get start? What legal right does this thing have? Like, what's its story? Was it trying to get me to do or believe? And we just kind of unwind it with Jesus' help, basically. So we just snip this, cut that. Let's cut this legal right. Let's revoke, renounce this. Let's revoke that. And pretty soon that voice is really quiet or gone. And now you've heard, well, at least in our style, we like to get Jesus' voice in there often. And just, I think it's just like a child development thing. I don't know, like we internalize what we hear a lot, I think, at least especially growing up. And so I think as we hear God's voice over time, it starts to build a new foundation within our hearts as to like who he really is and how he really feels about us. And so we may have internalized these inner critics over the years. In this case, we get to internalize Jesus's voice. And that gets reinforced over time as we hear him over and over again over time.
Yeah, totally. No, I mean, and I think like, as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know, this might sound heavy to people, like, oh my gosh, like this is going to take forever, you know, but I think like, in my experience with both like the scripting method, which is what I teach, and then like the listening prayer, you know, which is what you really administer, is that like, God is way more fun. Jesus is way more fun and funny and kind. Like, he's not scared. Like, he's not worried. He's not upset about the things that are going on inside of us. You know, like, he's like, I think that's the amazing part to me is like, I think I used to think deliverance was like heavy and like, oh my gosh, we need like 14 people praying this demon out of this person. You know, that's the way I used to see it. And you know, the Bible says that it's unto how you believe, right? So if you believe that you have to throw up in a toilet to get rid of a demon, then it actually will manifest that way. But what I've learned through you, I've learned through the Lord in my own, you know, kind of what I'm developing, or, you know, like not really developing God, it's God, but you know, what he's kind of doing through me is that God is way not worried. Like, this is like no big deal to him. He actually sort of thinks it's funny, you know, like often, you know, I'll have these pictures of Jesus, like making me laugh. You know what I mean? Like he'll be like dancing this really awkward dance. And I thought, is that me? You know, is that my imagination? Until I met a friend and she says, Jesus says the same thing to her, you know? And I'm like, it's really Jesus, you know? So, yeah. I mean, I think sometimes when we talk about deliverance, or we talk about the inner critic, or, you know, I talk about self-hatred, which is like a piece of the conglomerate, in what I teach, it's like, it feels so heavy and people are like, ah, you know, they're kind of scared of it. And it's like, oh, that's the worst thing you could do, because it's actually so simple. And it was already done on the cross 2000 years ago. We're just administering, you know, like you said, like clipping off some things, bringing some things to the cross of Christ. And it's actually very simple, and God's so kind, and he's even kind of makes light of it in a way, not light of our pain, because we all, you know, like life is real, but he kind of like, it's almost like he laughs at the enemy. You know what I mean? He's like, you can't keep my kid like in bondage. Like, I'll clip these things off, you know, and they'll be free as a bird. And so I think the biggest challenge that I see for people getting to the point of even going to a workshop like yours or buying a course like mine is the fear of it. There's a fear that the enemy wants to keep them from, oh no, God doesn't speak to people these days or whatever it is, you know, or I'm not going to pay $70 for a course to get rid of my inner critic, or like whatever it is the enemy's like trying to do, because the enemy doesn't want you free, you know, like he doesn't want to lose his access to you. Like he doesn't want to see you thrive and shine in life, which is absolutely Jesus's, you know, like he came to give us an abundant life, you know, and he wants us like rocking and rolling and doing our thing, you know? And so, yeah, I just think that there's a lot of fear out there around it. So as you were talking, I was like, I just want to, you know, say that to people. Like if you are feeling it's heavy, it's, you know, it's going to take 20 years. I mean, obviously we're always growing, like we're not perfect on earth really. So like, we're always going to be growing and, you know, but, and there's a time I think for maybe to go in and do some little surgery, like God may lead you to go in and be like, okay, we need to do some surgery here for a little bit, you know, but that's not going to be your whole life. Mm-hmm. But it's good to get tune-ups, you know, like I've gone through a lot of healing. And so it's like, I don't really get into like, oh, I need to go take another class on it because I've taken so many classes and I've paid so much money. And, you know, I've been doing this for a decade, but, you know, I do a monthly thing with you because it's just almost, there's just more things that God wants to like click in my healing, you know, or click in my head. You know, yeah. He's like, he just wants to open up more things to me. So it's not for me, it's not really going back into my past and sorting that as much as it is like, you know, just like, oh, I thought I was like, had all these responsibilities and I was like a freaking donkey, you know? And God's like, no, actually, Lindsay, you're just seeing yourself wrong, you know? So I don't know. I just want to encourage people that are listening. Like, it's not a big, heavy, scary thing, actually. Actually, Jesus is really funny and like really very kind and very loving. And that's why, you know, with what Eric does, it's like he's an engineer. I just always go back to that, Eric, because you literally are like turning this, clicking that, moving this, moving that, you know, as you're helping people through. And that's so unique to me. And then I feel like what I help people do is kind of like aftercare. You know, it's like I teach people how to kind of constantly, moment by moment, every day, talk things out with the Lord. And then sometimes in that, the Lord will be like, hey, you need to go have a session with Eric, or, you know, hey, might be good to get a therapist for a little bit, or hey, you might need to go do this, or, you know, go to the prayer room or go and do worship or whatever. It's like, how do you make your everyday decisions with the Lord? That's more what I'm helping people do. And like, you're like you said, cutting off legal access to this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like healing the ouchies, as I call them. So yeah, I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
I think finding freedom can be fun, Eric. What do you think?
That's right. And to be honest, I think the fruit is excellent. I think you're right. It's basically the way I see listening prayer and healing prayer kind of together is that I'm listening prayer and kind of whether it's scripting or whatever style you're hearing God's voice. Like that's something we can experience all the time with Jesus. Anytime we want, he's here. We just need to like say, all right, Jesus, what do you want to talk about? You know? And so that's our goal, is like, we want people to enjoy that on a regular. And we can do that on our own, no problem. Once you start to get a feel for what it kind of how it works. And then sometimes, to be honest, we get stuck and there's something going on and we reach a place where there's something blocking my ability to hear God's voice, or I cannot move forward in my life right now. Something's in the way. I do not feel well. Something's wrong. And sometimes we just need someone else. We need someone who's been there before, who can help us kind of walk us through. I mean, I'll do this kind of thing on myself because I'm experienced, but even I've been doing this for a long time. And I feel like, oh no, I need help here. But there's sometimes we just can't see something. We're blind to something. Or just it sometimes just helps to have someone else walking there with us to help us to be a little objective about it and to maybe ask some questions we hadn't thought to ask, or just to be have someone walk alongside us can be really healing, just to be able to say, hey, this is what's going on, and getting something out. A lot of times, I mean, this stuff can be sometimes like what this can look like, and it'd be very different. I mean, sometimes people do inner healing deliverance and it's very structured. This is our checklist and we're gonna roll you through this.
Right.
That's not my preference. And so
neither.
I just like to say, Jesus, what do you want to do today? And I just let Jesus lead the time. And my job as facilitator and my approach is to say, what's Jesus doing? And how do we find that trail and how do we move along it? And so some of the conversations can be very light and just be like, hey, you know, Lindsay, I want to talk to you about your business and like where you're going and what, you know, what maybe more about vision for life and what's possible. For someone, another time say, hey, there's some emotions. Let's dig out these emotions a little bit. Let's look at them and let's lament this a little bit, grieve it a little bit. And Jesus is very good about sort of pulling things out that maybe have been locked inside. You know, we need to, that was in there and needed to be expressed. And sometimes he just wants to bring it out and release us from that because that can really weigh us down. Other times it's like, all right, we got to deal with something in the past. There's something here that a trauma or something that's kind of locked the person down. And God wants to work through the person and move through the person and meet with the person, but there's something in the way. And so I feel like a lot of inner healing deliverance is really about removing the blocks and the obstacles that would prevent us from having that relationship that Jesus wants us to have from him, or might be preventing us from moving forward in whatever he's calling us into, whether that's a relationship or ministry of some sort, or being, you know, fully available in our vocation, you know, whatever that may be. So I feel like it all fits together nicely, which is beautiful. But it all boils down to experiencing Jesus and enjoying that relationship with him. And you're right. I think when you said earlier about kind of the deliverance part of it, especially we have all these ideas in culture that this is like exorcist movie kind of experience kind of thing. And obviously, if you go into it and you're deep into the occult or all that kind of stuff, I'm sure it could get kind of hairy if you're going right in and having like direct power encounters with that stuff. But we find when we bring Jesus in and do it his way, the enemy has access and power because we've granted him power through the legal rights. So if we work through a step at a time and just dismantle the legal rights, his power in our lives just goes down to nothing. And then by the time we're done, it's like, he's basically out the door anyways. All we did was deal with legal rights. It wasn't hard. It wasn't ugly. It wasn't weird. It was just asking Jesus questions. Now, okay, do we need to repent of something here? Like, oh, okay, let's just repent. Like, oh, we need to forgive something? Let's forgive. Okay. Oh, there's something that was happening in my family that, okay, let's confess and repent on behalf of the family. And, you know, it's just a matter of the information, really. And again, with listening to prayer, like, Jesus is pretty good about getting us the information. So they say, like in G.I. Joe, I think they say knowing's half the battle. And that's really true of deliverance. It really is most of the work is just trying to understand what is going on and what needs to be, what steps can we take to cut the rights. And once you've done that, it's, so the word, usually I see people like, oh, like I feel like something dark came off or a little burp. Usually that's kind of what people who are sensitive to that kind of stuff can experience. Sometimes the worst I've seen usually is people are working something. All of a sudden someone can't hear. They want to run. They want to get out of there. They don't feel comfortable. Like, and we're like, okay, we think this is probably something spiritual going on. And that's usually where the feelings come is like, or they might start to see something that's darker and maybe like they're all of a sudden in a scene where there's something scary, like there's a wolf and they're there, or there's a snake or something. And it feels scary because it's a weird image. And so we just, all right, Jesus, where are you? And bring Jesus into it, let Jesus help, let him deal with it. And all of a sudden that little boy or little girl is protected, safe with Jesus. They're no longer in the dark place or in a green field or something with flowers. I mean, that's kind of how it rolls. Like, it's just, so we don't get any of that really strange. I mean, sometimes you get like deliverance ministries that just focus on deliverance and they're not doing the legal right stuff. They're not using inner healing tools to unwind things. And now you're getting like full blown power encounter. So like you're confronting something demonic at its full power. And so you'll have certain environments, I think, especially like internationally, where things are where this stuff is a little bit more out in the open, you'll have people levitating or things like that, putting off really, really strange smells, people speaking in voices that aren't their natural voice, you know, stuff like that can happen, but I've never seen it, to be honest. So if you do it the right way, I think in a way that you avoid all that, and I'm a high value for protecting the dignity of the person. I think we can do it that way. It's always best to do it that way if possible. What's beautiful though is to remember you have Jesus at your disposal. I mean, Jesus is there and wants to help. So we leverage him. I think a lot of times in our minds, we feel like, oh, there's God. And then God's counterpart, equal counterpart is Satan. Mm-mm. But in reality, that is not the case. That's not true. No. God is here, or you know, yeah. and Satan is somewhere down here. And we often give Satan way more power than he is due. And so we bring Jesus in, and it's no contest. What he did at the cross trumps everything. And so it's just a matter of like, all right, we're just taking this to the cross. We're standing on our authority of what we know to be true. And let's just work through it. And the spirit starts to do something a little bit weird. We just bind it, and then it's usually fine. So it's actually, yeah, it's very, for us, it tends to be a very clean process. Not anything really to be feared. In my experience, if people come out with a lot of good results in terms of what's possible on the other side of it.
So cool. I know, it's so cool. I know, I think it's cool. I mean, I just love freedom. So, you know, like any tool that brings freedom to people, I'm like, let's go. It's so good. Yeah. So yeah, this has been so great, Eric. I was trying to think, I had another question, but it's like, it's left me for a brief moment. Okay. I wanted you to tell us how we can jump onto your free workshops.
Sure. Best place to find us is on our website. It's listeningprayerworkshop.com. And so we have an events page there. That we'll post what we got going on there. Everything now is Zoom based. And right now we're doing, current plan right now is to do 4 workshops a month. And so okay. we have some that are more beginner friendly that are there for people who are trying to on-ramp into just the idea of listening prayer. Some are just there to kind of, for people who want to come back and continue to practice and apply listening prayer to different kinds of prayer. So we'll do like something we call evangelism night. So we're experimenting with what it looks like to apply listening prayer to evangelism. Mm-hmm. We have an intercession night where we actually ask Jesus how he wants us to join him in praying for whatever he's praying for at the time. And that's really actually one of my favorite events. It's really cool. We do something called family night, or in what we call our 2-in-1, which is a little more focused on listening for one another. I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier. That's a great place to practice to get, I'm an engineer, so I like to test things and get feedback on things. And so that's a great environment to try something and get honest feedback from someone who you don't know about what you've heard. For me, I felt like that was a great, very helpful as I've learned to do this over the years, that was getting that kind of feedback through listening for someone else actually really helpful. The other thing that's interesting about that concerning the inner critic is that I was, especially over the years, there's points where I was like not doing too well in life, didn't feel good about myself, but God would still speak through me. Mm-hmm. And I, in a way that was really helpful to someone else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I think it was really helpful. Like it really smashed the shame. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't feel good about myself. God must not love me. That was the way my logic worked. It's but God just used me and spoke through me and really did something really powerful in this person's life. So something about my thinking is wrong. God must still love me. Let me start to align with that a little bit more. It really helped melt off the shame.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's always fun when you're like, because like you think you hear God, you know, on different things. And then, you know, you're cruising along and then, you know, the enemy or the inner critic, you know, will tell you like, that wasn't God. I mean, isn't that the first thing he said in the Bible? Like, are you sure that was God? You know, like with the apple, the tree. And so, you know, I feel like he's not a creator. He's not that, you know, he's not that creative. So he just reuses his old tactics, but
same tricks. Yeah.
Yeah. Same tricks. And so, you know, it's like, even in what I teach, which is the scripting, like you're hearing from God, just like kind of on the daily about every single thing you want to ask him about, which is like so fun. And it just builds that connection with God, which then builds that trust with God, which then helps you actually receive his love, you know, because it's easy, like you said, in our head to be like, God loves me, you know, but like to experience God's love on the daily, not just in a worship set, not just, you know, in an inner healing, but to experience God's love on the daily, you know, is to connect with him, to build trust with him. And then, you know, then trust leads to love, you know, or to experiencing love. You can love someone, not trust them, but I don't know that you can experience and receive love in a sustainable way without some kind of trust. And so, you know, I think that's definitely what I teach in my courses. But, you know, I just think it's interesting that, you know, we're receiving that. Sorry, completely just freaking lost my train of thought. Like I was trying to fake it. I was like, I'm just going to fake it. I know it's going to come back. And then I was like, no, y'all, lost my train of thought. It's totally cool. But I, you know, yeah, I don't even know where I was going besides that the enemy does like to say to us, are you sure that was God? Are you sure that was God? Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, when you are practicing with other people, like is what you're saying, you're hearing God speak to you, to another person, they're getting crazy breakthrough or tears or big smile or whatever it is. And that affirms and confirms, oh, I hear from God.
Yep.
I hear from God. You know what I mean? So I think that's so powerful. That's where I was going. We got it back. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Well, I'll jump on something you were saying too. I would just recommend, I mean, like really what I've learned is that like, this is a muscle that gets developed. It's like going to the gym. It takes time, it takes practice, and it takes doing it over time. And so I think what you've created is really great. Some actually people in our mix that I think I would say are here very well have learned using tools similar to yours, that kind of scripting way, like writing seems to work really well, especially for people who are geared a little bit more towards hearing his voice, kind of like spontaneous thoughts that come to mind. Mm-hmm. That tends to be a great way to cultivate it. So I think what you put together is fantastic. I would definitely recommend it for anyone looking. If you want to grow in this, if this is something that feels like I know that God does speak to you and you can develop it. And these tools will help you do that for sure. It's just about giving Jesus the opportunity and having some structure, I think, is super helpful. But if you want to do it with community, I think I know Lindsay, you're doing some things around some group stuff, I think. And then our workshops might be a great place to just practice and be with people doing it. The idea is for us is we're like kind of a family of people doing this together. And so that's the way I think about it. It's like, I'm going to attract people who want to do this with me because I want to practice. I want to grow in this. So how do we create space to just do that on the regular? And so our heart is really about building community people that like to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And help each other along the journey.
Yeah. No, it's so good. Thank you. Yeah. No, I know. I love that we get to kind of truck alongside each other and it's so fun. So thank you for coming on, Eric. This is so fun. I knew you'd be great. Would you pray for us?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks for having me. This has been wonderful.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, it's so fun. I mean, I know you and I, like, we like to nerd out. We're like, let's talk about it. So yeah, it's super fun. But yeah, pray for us. And then yeah, we will let you go and we'll talk to everybody next week with our next guest. So yay. Okay.
Very good. Well, I'll keep it short and to the point.
Okay.
My style. Well, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you that you are Jesus Emmanuel. You're a God with us. You know what we're going through, you know what we're dealing with in our lives, and you have something to say about it. So thank you that you're always with us. We can always look for you. We can always tune in ear to your voice, and we know that you love to speak to us. And sometimes there's things that interfere with that, but you have solutions for that too. So Jesus, we pray for just all those who are listening now or watching this. We pray even now that you would meet with them, that you would whisper to them, that they would sense your presence and your peace. Jesus, we know that you do want to grow their capacity to hear you and to deepen their relationship with you. So we just bless that. And whether it's through these tools that we're, you know, talked about here today or other tools, Jesus, we know that you, in the end, it's about you. And you will, if we're open, you bring what we need and you bring a way. So we just bless everyone here just with those hearing ears. And whether it's any obstacles to that, Jesus, pray that you would remove those in your time and really usher us into the fullness of what you have for us. Thanks, Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. This was so good. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming on and for being so helpful to me. You've been a big help to me, so I'm always so grateful for you. So, guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another fun person to talk to and learn from. So we're glad you're here and we love y'all and we'll talk to you later. Okay, bye. Well, 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 wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindsaymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antonori for producing this track. To learn more about them or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.